All right, for those of you that were here last week, I'm going to continue the quiz mode. When was the first Pentecost? When? Mount Sinai, about 1,400 years before Christ. It was not known as Pentecost then, but it was the Pentecost is the Greek name for the festival that was Shavuot, which God instituted way back at Mount Sinai. So the festival we know as Pentecost was a foreshadowing. Shavuot was a foreshadowing. We'll be talking about that more in a little bit. And again, last week we talked about this concept of who the Holy Spirit is. And we had our three persons of God sitting up here. Thank you again for being willing to do that. We had God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. We recognize that they together are inseparable. Any one of them and all three of them are God. And then, but there is three different persons. God the Father, whose will directs all things. God the Son, who is the expression of the Father's will in words, as they're written, as they're spoken, as they're prophesied, and in deeds, in meeting with people, in redemption, in going to the cross for us. And then God the Holy Spirit, the will of the Father, through the Son, in us, in human beings. And that's who we're focusing on, who He is, His history, and His work in throughout Scripture, and His work in us today. So that's where we're going. We're going to take a little bit deeper dive into the Holy Spirit, and one of His primary actions that you heard referenced multiple times already in our Scripture readings today, and that is how God the Father would send that Holy Spirit to provide fillings for special purposes. So, let's pray. Come, Lord Jesus, quickly. Many of us are waiting for You. There's not one of us that knows You that will be disappointed when You come back for us, when You call our name to enter into Your presence for eternity, God. So please, may we be excited about that, confident in that, and also, God, we pray that that truth would give us the urgency to reach out to the people around us, to represent You well towards them. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. I mentioned already the little booklet that you've got. So the front of it is some fill in the blank. If that's one method that helps you learn, take notes. And the rest of it is just kind of informational sake. I will invite you right up front that, especially on the inside, to read through those verses to see this are specific references to that filling of the Holy Spirit. And how does that apply in your life, or what you might learn from that? So I invite you, because the Holy Spirit will be at work in you even as you study it with an open heart. So look forward to that. I was talking about that message that I heard on the holiness of God Friday night. So holy is a word that's probably, other than cursing, only used in church. And I say, when I say cursing, I mean in the best way, like holy cow. I'm sure that there's no such thing, but it is a phrase that's used. But when we say holy, and then we say Holy Spirit, we are saying that the characteristics of who God is as ultimately holy, as the third person of the Trinity, Holy Spirit. But in Scripture, please know, Spirit is not always Holy Spirit in the Bible. Spirit has a couple of different meanings depending on the context, but how they all fit together is something that I never really grasped before I got into this study myself. And so I hope you are blessed also by what by some of the things that I was able to understand. In the Old Testament, the word Spirit in the Hebrew is Ruach. And we're going to hear about that in just a second. It sounds like the guy in the video that we're hearing in a second, he says, you kind of have to be clearing your throat as you say it in Hebrew, because it's kind of ruach. So some of you are very familiar with this. It's called the Bible Project, but it's been this study that's being continually expanded by a group of theologians trying to put biblical themes into very understandable forms. So I invite us to watch about a minute 50 on the beginnings of this on the Holy Spirit. Let's watch that now.
If you've ever heard the phrase, the Holy Spirit, and you want to know what it means, where do you start?
Well, you have to start on page one of the Bible, where the uncreated world is depicted as this dark, chaotic place. But then, above the chaos, God's Spirit is there, hovering, ready to bring about life and order and beauty.
Okay, but what is God's Spirit?
Yeah, so the Spirit is the way the biblical authors talk about God's personal presence. The Hebrew word is ruach.
Ruach.
Yeah, you got to clear your throat at the end.
So what is it?
Well, ruach can refer to a number of different things, but what they all have in common is energy.
Energy? How so?
So there's an invisible energy that makes the clouds move or the tree branches sway.
Right. Wind.
So in Hebrew, that's ruach.
Okay.
Now take a big breath. So you feel that inside you?
Yeah, the air?
Well, specifically the energy, right? The vitality in your body that you get from breathing deeply, that too is ruach. And this is the same word used in the Bible to describe God's personal presence. Just like wind and breath are invisible, God's Spirit is invisible. Wind is powerful, and so God's Spirit is powerful. And just as breath keeps us alive, so God's Spirit sustains all of life.
Yeah, ruach.
Now, as we continue on in the story of the Bible, we see God's ruach giving special empowerment to people for specific tasks. The first person in the Bible this happens to is Joseph.
God's Spirit enables him to understand and interpret dreams.
And then it happens to this guy named Bezalel, and he's an artist.
God's Spirit empowers him with wisdom and skills. He's given creative genius to make beautiful things in the tabernacle.
And we also see God's Ruach empower a group of people called the prophets.
They're able to see what's happening in history from God's point of view.
All right. The only thing about that I would disagree with slightly is that the first person that's mentioned where the Holy Spirit is at work in a filling action is in Joseph. But who knows if there were other instances where God did not choose to record that through Moses. For instance, I'm guessing Noah had some skills that were probably a little bit beyond human capacity or those kind of a thing. So, but the first one that's mentioned is Joseph. So let's take what they said and see in your notes kind of here's a definition for us. God's personal presence, bringing life, and empowering humans for specific assignments or seasons. On the back of your message notes, I included a list from theologian John MacArthur of just some of the ways that the Holy Spirit was at work in the Old Testament characters. So that's just for your reference if you wanted one, if you wanted to study it, look at it further, that's a great place. But let me just talk through a couple of these and see how these pieces fit together. In Numbers chapter 11, we read this, beginning at verse 24. This is in the wilderness. This is the people wandering. This is the people on their way to the promised land eventually. Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord. And he gathered 70 men of the elders of the people and placed them around the tent of meeting, where God offered his presence. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him and took some of the spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. And as soon as the spirit rested on them, they prophesied. So the same Holy Spirit that had filled Moses in wonderful ways, that same Holy Spirit, God says, you need additional people to help you rule these millions of people. So he says, let's empower some others. And the same Holy Spirit rested on them. And it says, and they prophesied. I love to start here. Some of you, what does it mean to prophesy? Somebody want to take a shot at it? To prophesy means to speak for God. Sometimes it's about the past. Sometimes it's about the current situation that you might be in. Sometimes, yes, it is about the future. Normally when we think of prophesying, you think of, oh, you're telling the first future. You're telling something that's going to happen. Yes, sometimes. But the primary, and that's what was happening here, is that they were to speak on behalf of God. All right. But we also find this in the Old Testament that is different from what we see in the New Testament. The Holy Spirit was given, and sometimes it was withdrawn. Sometimes people were filled with the Holy Spirit just long enough to do a certain job. Or in the case of this text, we read in the book of Numbers, evidently what God did was, Moses was clearly in contact with God. So whatever Moses said, the people mostly did, except when they were ticked off at him. You know how that goes. But mostly they trusted him. They believed him. They knew he spoke on behalf of God. He had been on Sinai. He spoke with God in the tent of meeting. So what God did was, he says, you need to expand this leadership. He allowed the 70, the supernatural gift of prophesying, of speaking on God's behalf, so that all of these people could hear, yep, these two, you are, these also you are to listen to. But then listen, at the end of verse 25, which I didn't read, as soon as the Spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but they did not continue doing it. God gave it to them for a sign to let the people know, listen up. But then he says, okay, Moses is still my main spokesman. You're not going to be the ones doing this on an ongoing way. So they were filled for a specific purpose or season. Sometimes God gave that for a short time, others for the rest of their lives, like we heard about David. And others, he took it away from people who incessantly rebelled against God. Maybe you can think of a couple people. He pulled the Spirit away from Saul. He pulled the Spirit away from Samson. And those of you that have belonged to a traditional church for any part of your life, or are familiar enough with Scripture, you will know well a prayer of David that we have used as part of our liturgy for hundreds and hundreds of years, where he says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. David knew, because of his intense sin, how he had violated the will of God, that he deserved to have that Spirit taken from him. He prayed that God would not do that. And so God honored that, and God did honor that prayer. If we go now beyond him, a couple hundred years to the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah made it clear that both individuals and literally the unfaithful Hebrew people as a group that had been blessed with the Spirit of God in their presence, that due to their absolute willful disobedience, he removed it. Isaiah says in chapter 63, verse 10, but they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. Therefore, God turned and became their enemy, and himself fought against them. But the good news for the Israelites, and the good news for us whenever we blow it, he says, is, but not permanently. God remembered the days of old of Moses and his people. Where is he who brought them up out of the sea with the shepherds of his flock? Where is he who put in the midst of them his Holy Spirit? So he did not permanently crush the Hebrew people. He always allowed a lineage of them that led all the way up to the Messiah. And then this also came with promise. Again, if you are from a traditional church at all, or you know some of the scriptures that are referenced leading up to Christmas time, this is one of the famous ones. But now hear it from the perspective of the prophet Isaiah speaking 700 years before Jesus was born about who the Messiah would be and what he would have as gifts. Isaiah 11, verse 1. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse. A branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. All right, shifting gears for a moment. Let me take a moment and finish a conversation I started with you last week to clarify and review. All right, last Sunday in the church year, which goes back all the way to Mount Sinai, was Pentecost. We said that Pentecost always is going to happen 50 days, Penta, from the Sabbath after the Passover. And that's what we had this last Sunday. And in the Pentecost that we celebrate is when God, the Holy Spirit, was poured out in this new manner and more permanent manner of filling and indwelling in all believers. So that's what we were celebrating last week. But I want to talk a little bit about why that happened and when. Yes, it happened on Pentecost, which was one of the big three Jewish festivals. And if the name of it last that we talked about was Shavuot. Now, why did God pick to pour out the Holy Spirit in this new way, as He had promised, on that particular day? I think from Scripture we can identify clearly at least three different reasons. One of them is this, that there would be a maximum number of faithful Jewish believers in Jerusalem at this time. So the message would be spread all over the world because all of these people would have heard about it because of what happened on this day. Secondly, all of those Jews that are now in town would have been absolutely aware of the events that happened over Passover. This guy, Jesus, who claimed to be Messiah, was crucified and rose from the dead and has now ascended. There would not have been a single Jew that was interested at all that this wouldn't have been being discussed. Whether you're a cynic or a believer, curious, all of them at least would have been talking about it. Which kind of primes the pump for a willingness to hear, for the Holy Spirit to enter and hear. And third, and this is God's amazing long-range timing, Shavuot, by God's design, foreshadowed this fresh new filling of the Holy Spirit by the very purpose of the original holiday. If you want to look in your notes, you'll see it up on the screens. This is not from Messianic Jews. This is not from Christians. This is from a Reformed Jewish website. The definition of the ancient Hebrew festival Shavuot was this. In the time of the temple in Jerusalem, the ancient Israelites brought their first fruits, the first of the harvest of their crop, to the temple to offer it to God on Shavuot. So God, since Sinai, said, when you go into the new land, I'm going to be providing for you. It's a beautiful land. Crops are going to grow well. And I don't want you to forget how you got here. I don't want you to forget who's providing for you. I don't want you to forget who designed this land, who built this land, who grew all of this. So what I want you to do is every spring when you plant, and when that first crop comes up and the beautiful harvest is there, I want you to take some of that very best of the first of your crop, and I want you to make this journey to Jerusalem, to the temple, and offer up to me worship and sacrifice so that you don't forget, even if you're a good farmer, I'm the one that's providing. And then on that same holiday, when all those Jews are there remembering that, God creates the first fruit harvest of the Christian church on earth as all of those people receive the Holy Spirit. And before we leave that topic, I'm going to come back to it here in a moment. But let me also finish an important word study that we started last week associated with Spirit. And I've got there in your note, Acts 2, pneumatos, charismata, and paraclete. First of all, pneumatos. Again, it's just the Greek word for Spirit. And I want us to recognize that there's two different things. Again, there's Spirit that is like every single living human being has a spirit or soul. All right? That is the part of you that God creates at conception. You're conceived. Believer, unbeliever, Islam, Jewish, Buddhist, every person who has ever lived, God breathes a soul, spirit, into that human being that is now an eternal being. All right? So that spirit is different from Holy Spirit. Listen to the discussion of spirit in Scripture. You'll recognize it instantly. What about Jesus on the cross, right as He's dying, Jesus calling out with a loud voice said, Father, into Your hands I commit My spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last. In the scripture reading that we had from the book of Acts just a little bit ago that Mr. Bittner read, Stephen, being stoned to death, is given a blessing of the filling of the Holy Spirit to have a vision of heaven and seeing the Jesus that he had followed sitting at the right hand of the Father, which would have given him a level of peace that none of us can even imagine. And then they finished stoning him to death. And as he forgave them, just like Jesus forgave those that crucified him, it says, he called out, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And one of those miracles that Jesus did, raising that young girl from the dead. She's not dead, she's just sleeping. Well, she was dead. But it says in Luke 8:55, and her spirit returned. The soul or spirit returned to this dead human body. And she got up at once. And he directed that something should be given to her to eat. So in one sense, the Holy Spirit does, like the video said, the Holy Spirit, it says in Scripture, is the author of all life. He is the author of all. So every human being that ever was conceived has a soul that is eternal. But then the second part of it is what we're going to get to here in a little bit. From Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath, the ruach, of life. And the man became a living creature. The second word there is that charismata. Almost all of you likely have heard the term charismatic. Right? You've heard the term charismatic. It comes from that biblical word that I wrote there, charismata. But guess what that word just means? It simply means grace gifts. Paul is the one that especially uses it. And we'll be talking about this in the third portion of this series next week on some of those charismatic gifts. But it just means grace gifts. And all that means is it speaks of God-given, undeserved gifts that he gives people to serve and strengthen his church on earth. And then the third one is paraclete, which brings us to the text that I have under our message notes today as the primary text, because just how special this is and how important this is for you and I for here today. From John chapter 14, beginning at verse 15, it says, if you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. That's that paraclete. I will give you an advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. Now we're going to tie these pieces together. Listen to these next few words from Jesus. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. I am telling you these things now while I am still with you. But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. In its simplest form, this word advocate, from the Greek word paraclete, is Jesus is promising to those disciples and to you and to me, the advocate or paraclete is one called to the side of another. Jesus says, I'm not going to be with you forever here physically. I'm going away. But don't worry. I have to go. Because when I leave, I'm going to the Father, and we're going to send you someone who is never going to leave you. Who is always going to be one who will come alongside of you. Who will not only be with you, but will be in you. So that no matter where you go, no matter what you do as a follower of Christ, you have God the Holy Spirit in you. And that's what we have that was poured out on Pentecost. Acts 2 verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. In the Old Testament, the filling was poured out rarely and for specific purposes and seasons. But following Jesus' victory through his cross and resurrection, Jesus went back to the right hand of the Father, and they sent God the Holy Spirit to empower and remain with every believer. He is your advocate. He told the disciples, and he tells you and me, I will not leave you as orphans. Think on that. This is just so good. When you became an eternal being, as you were conceived, God spoke, breathed a soul into you. Right? He gave you physical life. Then, what does Jesus say? You don't just need one. You need to be born again. And so then, by faith, as the Holy Spirit comes to us, He ruachs into us, transforming that spirit that is neither saved nor unsaved. It's just apart from God. It's just an eternal soul being. Through faith, then, He breathes into you, and now you have eternal life as a child of the Most High God. I will not leave you as orphans. I'm not just going to leave your soul out there untouched, just hanging in the wind. I am going to provide for you eternal life as you are born again. How did Peter say it? I want every single person who's hearing these words to repent, baptized into Christ Jesus, and you too will receive that Holy Spirit. That's that born-again process. We have the physical life, and like Jesus says, but we also need to be born again. We need that spiritual renewal. Jesus tells me, as you follow me, as you live as my disciple, as you are baptized into me, you are being born again. We are your spiritual parent. You are not a spiritual, eternal orphan. I am ruaching, breathing into you the Holy Spirit. So I was preparing for this a couple of weeks ago and getting ready and breaking all this out. And I heard a song on Christian radio that just, I don't know why, it just hit me so hard as I was listening to it. I wrote to Nicholas and I said, this is one we're not going to be familiar with at all, but it just spoke to me and to my heart about this topic that we're talking about. And so I asked them if they could pull it off, and they said, sure, we'll try anything. And so they're willing to lead us in it. So what I'd like you to do is, unless you listen to Christian radio regularly, you probably won't know it, but worship along with them the best you can. If nothing else, just focus on those words and let God's Spirit just cover you. Remember, He's your advocate. You've got Him. He's with you. He's with us here. And let those words just kind of flood over us as they're leading us in song.
A bit different now that my heart's been found. Nothing really feels the same. I hold my head a bit higher, lift my voice a bit louder. Yeah, something inside has changed. I am a mountain mover, water walker, more than just an overcomer, 'cause I've been set free. I am a gospel preacher, heart on fire, freedom singer, testifier, 'cause I've been redeemed. I am a believer. I am a believer. I know this is not my home. I know I don't walk alone. What comes my way, I have peace through the trouble, I have joy through the struggle, and now my hope in a brighter day. I am a mountain mover, water walker, more than just an overcomer, 'cause I've been set free. I am a gospel preacher, heart on fire, freedom singing, testifier, 'cause I've been redeemed. I am a believer. I am a child of the Father, an orphan no longer, no doubt about who I am. I'm in the hands of the healer, the arms of the Savior. His grace makes me who I am. I am a mountain mover, water walker, more than just an overcomer. 'Cause I've been set free, yeah. I am a mountain mover, water walker, more than just an overcomer. 'Cause I've been set free. I am a gospel preacher, heart on fire, freedom singing, testifier. 'Cause I've been redeemed. I am a believer.
Will you guys stand with me for prayers? Great job. Thank you. Father, thank you, thank you, thank you for that good news. That because of your presence in us, we can face the world and all of its struggles. We know that this is not our permanent home. And we also know that we have got a calling to make sure that everybody around us that we possibly can be comforted with this good news and this hope. When we walk around with a smile when the world's falling apart, it's because that you are our advocate, and we are so, so thankful. We celebrate and we praise you, God, for, as we're talking about birth today, the birth of Ethan Matthew, son born to Matt and Jen Johnson this week. We just praise you for that miracle of life, and we thank you for a healthy mom and healthy baby. We ask you, God, to be with all of those that are dealing with all sorts of issues. Sometimes it's the loss of a loved one. Sometimes it's health. There may be relationship problems, job issues. God, we trust you. And we know that you in us, with you, Holy Spirit, as our advocate, that we can face these things. And we also know that you have invited us to call out to you for that filling, that we might receive additional specific, perhaps even divine counsel, guidance, support. We ask, God, that you would pour that out on all those in need. It's sickening, God, when we look around and we see the hatred in the world. Sometimes war is about, I want to take your stuff. Sometimes war in our streets is about pride. Sometimes war in our homes is just about not getting along. But God, we know that you are a God of peace, and we pray that you would please continue to work in the lives of the people of this world. We pray for peace. May it start with us. We pray for strength and wisdom for you to guide our day-to-day lives. We pray for salvation for the lost. We pray for safe travels, especially now in this summer season. We ask, God, that you would see all those who may feel like they're invisible as persecuted Christians around the world. Those kind of people are living in harm's way every single day because of their faith in you. Give to them a special measure of your presence and protection. We praise you, God, for this body of believers here, Redeemer. We ask, God, that you would please be with us, each single person. Help us to recognize our responsibility and being your representatives in our individual circles of influence. And we praise you, God, for this chance to come together. And for some, I know it's across the screen, but I pray that they can also feel it, along with those of us that are in the room, that encouragement and mutual support that we get through the fellowship of believers, God. Strengthen us. We pray for other Christian churches in our community especially. We had an election this last week, and we asked, God, that you would be with our local, state, and national leaders. And regardless of ideals, that you, Holy Spirit, would work either directly in them or that you would work through a believer somewhere in their sphere of influence so that you might direct these people to make decisions that align with your will, Father. We thank you, God, for our military, for our law enforcement, for emergency services, for teachers as they are wrapping up their year. God, so many people that sacrifice and put themselves in harm's way day after day after day after day. We thank you for them. May we honor them and encourage them. We entrust these things into your hands, Father, and we know there's a lot more. There's health issues and all sorts of troubles of individuals, but help us, hear us now as we speak together with a common voice, kind of listening to your words, Jesus, as you said, when you pray, pray like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May he look upon you with his favor and give to you his peace that only can truly come from him and that nobody on this earth can take from you. Amen.